Okay, we're going to give the rest of the morning to Brother Kendrick and his family, and he'll sing whatever he wants, two or three, and then he'll preach. And I enjoy the singing. I love it. It speaks to my heart. But God did not ordain the foolishness of singing to bring people to Christ. He ordained the foolishness of preaching. And so Brother Kendrick is not just a good singer. In fact, he's not much of a singer. His kids are. But anyway, he's a preacher, and you'll enjoy his preaching if you haven't heard it. So, brother, you just do as God leads, okay?
Okay, amen. I'd like to just say we sure are glad to be here, and it's a blessing. And I think we have enough CDs if anybody wants one. The new CD's running out fast because they only sent me so many because they could not get us all that we wanted. And so, therefore, when we run out, we run out. And the next meeting we're going to in Florida, they'll be there waiting for us there. So if you want one, don't wait. You better get it as soon as you can. And please, sometimes we're busy running around taking care of stuff and watching children and making sure instruments are okay. And I always usually have one watching the instruments. Help us, if you would, parents made with the instruments. We try to keep the kids from not knowing they want to look at them, which is fine, but help us with that. And so, but would I say that to say this? We want you to come see us, talk to us, amen. We are servants of the Lord, and we do this for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're not some big entertainer group that can't talk to people, amen. And we love being around God's people, and we're very thankful to be able to serve Him, amen. So, yeah, please come see us when you get a chance.
Can open, just that it is so. I was there when.
Amen. We're gonna sing. We're gonna sing two songs. Let me tell y'all something. We're gonna sing two songs that come on the new CD now. And one of them is. Let me say this to you about the CD. First of all, the title of the CD is "I'll Stay True." It's "I'll Stay True." The reason we called it that is because there's a song on there called "I'll Stay True." But Pastor Tom McMurtry wrote that song. And many of y'all know him. He's over at Lighthouse Baptist Church in South Peru. And McMurtry wrote it, and he gave it to us, and the kids started singing it, and so we recorded it. And he has a copy now. We sent it to him the other day, and he loves it. And so we're thankful for him giving us the words of that song. But we'll sing that song probably tonight, Lord willing. But right now, we're going to sing two songs off that new CD, and one of them is entitled "Jesus Is What Heaven's All About." It's probably one of our favorite on the CD, at least one of mine, my wife and I's. A friend of mine by the name of Tommy Druitt, him and his family used to travel and sing. He still does sing. He's 70-something years old, I believe. When I was a child, I remember my mom and dad saying the Druitts are going to be at church today. Man, we was excited about it. And we'd go and listen to them sing. And Brother Druitt still travels when he can and sings. And we was with him probably about, I don't know, seven, eight months ago, something like that. And we had the privilege to sing with him on the platform. He sang, him and his wife, and my family sang, and he gave us all the old stuff that used to be on record. Amen. I remember, that's how old I am. I remember we had record players, and Tommy Drew used to listen to them on the record player. Well, his son took all those music that was on the record player and put it on a CD, and we listen to it still in our truck today, and we have it. And there's a song inside on that CD, the old song, "Jesus Is What Heaven's All About." We want to sing that song. We recorded this, and we love this song.
We will praise the sun. It's lonely in the flames when you're counting days of pain. But the potter knows the clay.
Bibles in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Thank you again, preacher, for letting me come. It's just a blessing to be here. We love coming to Faith Baptist Church. We have looked forward to this for the last, well, of course, ever since preacher asked me to come. We thought he'd be preaching this morning, but I'm glad to be able to fill his shoes. Amen. Of course, I can't fill his shoes, but glad to be able to stand in his place. And when he said, be ready, a few thoughts went through my mind, a few messages. This is one of them. And try not to preach, really, I don't usually preach long anyway, but I want to be straight to the point. Sunday morning, you never know who's in the house of God. And though they may be somebody that comes all the time, you don't know their heart like God knows their heart. Amen. And so I want to ask those of you that know for sure that you're saved, if you would take a few moments while I'm preaching and even pray for those that may not know for sure. Everything set aside, the most important thing that an individual can know is, are they on their way to heaven? Are they born again? Are they saved? Literally, you can throw everything else aside. The most important thing in an individual's life is, are you saved? What happens when we die? Amen. I want to read you the Bible, Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Very familiar scripture, but let's think about it.
And I'll give you a few thoughts and I'll be done. Matthew 16, verse 24, the Bible said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever," pay attention to the words now, "for whosoever will save his life shall lose it." In other words, if you try to get saved on your own, God says, you're not going to make it. You're going to lose it. He said, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake," that's Jesus talking, "for my sake shall find it." Watch what it says in verse 26. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the great privilege to serve you. Lord, we are just mere men and children of God that have the great honor to be able to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this morning you take the words, the song, the music, the Spirit of God, I pray, the preaching, and you speak to the hearts of people. Lord, we don't know how many are here this morning that may not know for sure they're saved. Lord, I know there's much that could be preached on. But Father, I believe the most important thing is, are they saved? And Lord, if there is no one, or if there is someone here that's not saved, I pray that, Lord, they'd leave here today knowing for sure if they die, they'd go to heaven. We thank you for Jesus. Father, we thank you that you're sending. Father, we thank you for the blood sacrifice. Now, Lord, I'm asking this morning for the help and the power of the Holy Ghost of God in preaching. Father, that you destroy the work of Satan. Even right now, he'd have no part in, Lord, the preaching. He'd have no part, Lord, in anybody's heart. And, Lord, he would have to leave this place. And, Lord, I ask that the Holy Ghost of God would have free will, free reign in every heart here this morning. We love you and we praise you. Thank you so much for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read it again. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There's number question number one. Then he said this, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" Question number two. So God here is asking the question, what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? Now, I don't know who all in the world, all the richest people in the world is. I don't know who all the people are that's got money. We know that there's a fella, if you would, by the name of Gates. It's probably one of the richest men in the world right now. I don't know if he's number one, number two, number three, but he's somewhere in there. And we know that this fella named Trump, amen's got a lot of money and he lets everybody know about it. And, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people out there that's probably got a lot of money. And some of you, you may think, man, if I had his money, I'd burn mine. You know, well, I would too. Amen. But anyways, there's a lot of people today that think, man, if I had what he had or if I had what she had, and maybe it's not somebody that's millions and millions or billionaires, we should say. Maybe it's just somebody that's very well off. And we think, man, if I had what they had or if I had what this guy had, and, you know, I'd have this, I'd get to do this. Well, let's just say this. What if you had a choice between being the richest person in the world and somebody that, or gets saved and does not have that? Which one would you choose? God said, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" In other words, let's say you are the richest individual in the world. You can have anything you want. You can go anywhere you want. You can do anything you want to do. You can have your own cruise line or your own cruise ship. You can go on all the hunts. You can go on all the shopping sprees. You can go on all the trips. You can constantly have a house here and a house there and a house over in this country and this island. And you can have helicopters and planes. Do anything you want to do, but yet lost and die and go to a devil's hell, or be saved and be a nobody. I'd rather be saved than be a nobody. God said, "What is a man profit? He shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" Now, most of us ain't got to worry about being too rich. Amen? But there might be some here that have some money, and praise the Lord, I'm glad God lets you have it. But God also said, "What shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" And here's what many people will do. They will not give their life to Jesus Christ because they'd rather have this or go do this or enjoy this, whatever it may be. In other words, they're exchanging their soul. Something. "I don't want to give my soul to you yet, Jesus, because." That means you've exchanged it for something. "I don't want to give my soul to you, Lord Jesus, because I would have to humble myself. I would have to ask the Lord to save me. I would have to quit this or quit that." Listen to me, friend. Listen, your soul is immortal. Your soul will either live in heaven forever, or it will exist and die eternally in hell. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 35 that Rachel's soul was departing from her. Every one of us here have a soul, if you would, inside this body. The Bible teaches us in 1 Kings 17 that Elijah was praying for the young boy's soul to enter back into him. Because here's what happens. When the body dies, the soul departs. And hear me, it's going somewhere. The Bible said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." But he said, "But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, God is the only one that has charge over our soul. God said this. He said, "Hey, don't be afraid of the one that can kill your body." Now, that may be hard for us to do. I mean, if somebody walked in here this morning and started shooting, that's happened in so many places around our country. I mean, it's natural for us to almost be afraid of that. I don't believe there's anybody here that just says, "Oh, man, I can't wait till I die." I know you might say, "Well, I want to go to heaven." I'm talking about, can I say to you, nobody wants somebody coming here and do that awful act. But can I say to you, friend, the Bible said in Job 27:8, "For what is the hope of the hypocrite?" Listen, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul. In other words, let me say it to you this way. What good is recognition? What good is respect? What good is all the popularity that you got? What good is the prestige? What good is the people's trust? What good is it if everybody thinks wonderful about you and everybody likes you? Everybody thinks you're saved. You die, you're in hell burning, and then they stand here at your casket and say, "It was just a wonderful man, just a wonderful woman. Oh, I know they're enjoying heaven." But you're screaming and crying out for a drop of water in hell. That's what the Bible's talking about. What is the hope of a hypocrite? What good does it do you to be a hypocrite? What good does it do an individual to make everybody think that they're okay and everybody make them, everybody believe that they're saved and everybody think that, but down deep inside in your heart, you know you're not. I'm not one of these guys that try to make everybody doubt, but I do believe the Bible when it says, "Let every man examine himself." Are y'all listening to me, young people? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You either give your soul to Christ or God will take that soul from you and cast it into hell. And I ask you, why would anybody want to take a chance on a hope-so salvation? You go knock on somebody's door, or you talk to somebody in the grocery line, or you talk to somebody at the gas station, you walk over there with a tract or a piece of the Bible, and you say, "Let me give that to you. I said, I just want to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you die today, do you know for sure you'd go?" And people will look at you and say, "I hope so." Whoa. What do you mean you hope so? It's not this, "I'm good, I'm bad. I hope I get there, man. I'm trying." It don't work that way. No such thing as a hope-so salvation. Listen, Jesus Christ did not come to this earth and shed His blood and be beaten and ridiculed and mocked, leave His throne, come down here and have His beard plucked out and take all the sins of the world and put on His body and then take your hell for 3 days and three nights and go through all that so you can hope you're going to heaven. He did all that so you can know you're going to heaven. He did all that so that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Some are trusting in their religion or their belief. Some are exchanging their soul for a life of pleasure. Some are exchanging their soul for sin. They're saying, "Not now, preacher. I enjoy my sin. I'm enjoying my girlfriend and my boyfriend. I'm enjoying my drinking. I'm enjoying my pornography. And I'm enjoying just a loose life of enjoying doing all the things that I want to do. I'll give Jesus my soul later." No, friend, you'll give Jesus your soul when He calls on you, or you won't give it to Him at all. Some are exchanging their soul for money. Some are exchanging their soul for prestige and popularity and people and positions and fame and fortune. And God said, "What shall man give in exchange for a soul?" Can I say to you, there's nothing more important than your soul. There's no doubt that people in the room today in the church value their life. I'm sure you value your life today. Just as I mentioned, nobody wants to have somebody come in here and shooting and killing. And nobody in here today, I believe, wants to get in their car or their truck and drive down the road and somebody run into them and kill them. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to go to the doctor and have the doctor tell them the awful words that you have cancer and you have 3 months to live. Nobody wants to hear that. Here's why. Because you value your life. Stay with me. If you value your life today, why won't you value your soul that lives for eternal? You understand that when this life is over, you're going somewhere. It's not over. People say, well, you know what? They go to the ground, back to dust, and that's it. It's over. I understand that this body will die, amen, and go back to the dust of the ground. But God said that He's going to put that body and soul in hell one day, friend. And listen, whenever you die, if you're not saved, you're going to that awful place called hell. Nobody likes to talk about that, but it's in the Bible. God had much to say about it, friend. And listen, friend, you will either have misery and doom in a place called hell, or happiness and peace and joy and love in heaven. But if you plainly deny the Lord Jesus Christ and do not get saved. The Bible said in Matthew 10:33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine standing before God? It's going to happen one of these days, friend. I don't know when, but I know it's going to happen when everything's over. I'm talking about the tribulation's over. Everything's over. Amen. The millennial reign's over. Then the tribulation's over. It's all over. All the dead are going to stand before God. The Bible said the books are going to be open. Either your name's there or it's not there. And can I say to you, there's going to come a day that every lost individual will go and they will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they will fall on their face before Him and acknowledge Him as God. And people will want to note their names in the book, of course. And the Lord said that their name will not be in the book. And God said that if you deny the Lord Jesus now, that He'll deny you before His Father. Can you imagine it? Picture it if you would. I mean, the Holy Ghost is there. The Father's there. The Lord Jesus Christ is there. Lord Jesus on the right hand of the Father. And the Father says, do you know Him, Son? And the Lord Jesus Christ says, I don't know Him. I don't know Him. Oh, yeah, Lord, you know me. Remember, I went to such and such a church. Lord, I did this, and Lord, I did all this, and I did all these things for you, Lord. Yeah, you know me. And the Lord says, the Father says, Son, are you sure? Do you know him? And the Lord says, I don't know who they are. The Holy Ghost says, Father, I was at Faith Baptist Church. We had our preacher preaching, and I dealt with them about their soul. They did not want to get saved that day. They denied your Son. And then the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, denies you. Holy Ghost denied you. The Lord Jesus denied you. Then the Father denies you. Then they bind you hand and foot and cast you into outer darkness. You listen to this preacher. That's real. It's going to happen. Are you saved? You will stand and watch. It's real. Matthew 7:19-23, many, the Bible said, many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Thy name? Did we not do many mighty wonderful works? The Lord will say, I never knew you. Hear me, friend, listen to me. Coming to church is great. Giving is great. Singing for the Lord is great, but it will not get you to heaven. I've preached now for 24 years, almost 25 years. This coming year, around November sometime, it'll be my 25th year since I've surrendered to preach. And can I say to you, in the 24 years that I've been preaching, has not allowed me 5 minutes in heaven. The only reason I'm going to heaven is because the Holy Ghost of God convicted my soul one day at the age of 19 years old. He said, you're a lost boy. And I trusted Jesus Christ that day, repented of my sins, asked the Lord to save me. God saved my soul, put my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the only reason I'm saved. I ask you a question, are you saved? If you choose to put all your trust in Christ, comes great eternal life and happiness. But if you choose to put your trust in yourself and this world, the loss of your soul is irrecoverable, friend. Listen, friend, the Bible said in Matthew 16:25, it said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." There's nothing you can do to save your life. You say, "Well, preacher, you know, my mama told me that I was all right. And I did this whenever I was a little girl. And I did this when I was a little boy. And you know what? I've been trying to do what's right." That's not going to get us to heaven. You got to lose your life. It's not you that gets you saved. It's the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God. He woos you and He draws you. And you cannot get saved. You listen, you cannot and you will not get saved without the wooing and the drawing of the Holy Ghost of God. You say, "Well, I don't get saved today. I'll get saved later." If He ain't dealing with you, you won't. There's so many a people, friend, story after story that can be told of those that rejected Christ and walked out of the church, died in the parking lot, went to a devil's hell. Seriously. I was raised in church down in Pensacola, Florida. I went to different meetings around that area, Milton and all them places. Mom and Daddy put me out in the teen camp. I went to those things, youth rallies, did all that stuff when I was a kid, heard some of the great preaching at Fundamental Baptist Church. I mean, great singing, all that stuff. You understand? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, stay with me. All that time. Heard the preaching constantly. When I was about 5 years old, 6 years old, I think, something like that, my brother was going to get saved. I asked my mama, "Where's Bubba going?" She said, "He's going to get saved." I said, "I want to go." There wasn't no conviction. But I wanted to go. I remember it. I went forward and pewed down on the front. Some man, I don't even know who it was, took a Bible and showed me how to get saved. But there was no conviction. There was no realization I was lost. I just wanted to do what Bubba was doing. Bubba got baptized, so guess what I did? I got baptized. Amen? And I went down through my Christian life saying that was my salvation experience. And the key is this. There was no conviction. Get that. Amen. I didn't realize I was a sinner. I didn't realize all that stuff. I was just copying somebody else. And I went down through my Christian life all my teen years, and the proof that I wasn't saved was I lived like a devil. I went to church because I was told to, but whenever I left out of the house of God, y'all listening, fellas, young boys, I lived a different life, different world, hung out with different people, listened to different music, lived a different way. Why? I was lost. Then at the age of 19 years old, I went to visit my uncle, helped him move from a church from Alabama up into Owosso, Michigan. My uncle Terry Kendrick, and I went to help them move, and I didn't have nothing to do. I just got out of high school. I was going to go into the military. I was waiting to take the test for that and go do that. So I thought, hey, why not? So I went and helped them move and stayed with them for several weeks up there. And after about the second week that I was there, my uncle, man, he's a fireball preacher, man. He preaches it straight and hard, and man, doesn't hold back at all. And preacher, he was a preacher one day using his testimony. He's talking about my family because we had the same family. The church that he went to was the same church that I grew up in, and he was talking about how the Lord dealt with his heart and how he was lost and how he didn't get saved till he was 19. I was 19 at the time. Man, the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of me, friend. He started dealing with my heart, showing me how I was lost. And I said, "Lord," went right back to that. I said, "Lord, when I was little, I remember going forward with my brother. I did this, I did that. I'm talking to the Holy Ghost. I did this and I did that." He said, "The only reason you did it is because your brother did it." And then he started naming all the stuff that was in my life that wasn't right. He told me, he said, "You're lost, boy." I didn't fight God. Got up out of my seat. I walked forward in that little church. My uncle took that Bible, showed me how to get saved, and I repented of my sins. Asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. Listen, it ain't been the same since. Wasn't too long ago, I don't know how long it's been, maybe a couple of years, I had the privilege of going by that church. We were passing right by it. We went the wrong way. When I was passing right by it, I might have said this to you, I don't know. But anyways, I went to that church, and the preacher opened the door for me. He had pulled up about the same time. I went inside, showed my kids. I said, "There's the spot that your daddy got saved." Let me ask you a question. Do you know you're saved? You think coming to Faith Baptist Church is going to get you to heaven? You got one of the best preachers in the country. You got one of the best churches in the country. It's a wonderful place. But it ain't going to get you to heaven. Young people, it ain't going to get you to heaven. You think God's going to be sentimental to you and maybe He won't be as hard on you because you're young? No. There's young people in hell today, your age, because they never trusted Christ as their Savior. And I got to finish up, friend, but can I say to you quickly, once the soul is lost in that place in hell, be it known unto you, there's no redemption. It's over. You have one chance to get saved, and that's in this lifetime when He speaks to you. The Bible said in Psalm 49, said none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. God said this. God said, nobody can pay you out of hell. Nobody can pay a ransom for you. So all these people that light candles, it's a fraud. All these people that baptize for the dead, it's a fraud. All these people that think they can give money to the church to get people out of hell, it's a fraud. You understand? It was man thought up. It was man made. God said, no man. It said none of them can by any means redeem his brother. He said, nor give to God a ransom for him. You can't do it. God said the only one that can get you out of hell, or the one that keep you from going to hell, is Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, hear me now. Listen, redemption is only found in Jesus Christ. Redeem means this. It means ransom, delivered from bondage, distress, penalty, or liability. The Bible said in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Grace, go to the piano, please. Friend, what is your soul worth? It was worth the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, young people, do you think life is all about social networking, games and parties and fun and just having a good time and laughing and looking at sin and all that? You think that's all life's about? You mean to tell me that you're going to waste your life on that mess and then ruin somebody else's life, destroy a family, and then go through a miserable life and die and go to hell? Serious thing. The Bible said this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. This preacher, you, the older people, younger people, whoever it is, we're all sinners. The glory of God is Jesus. And we've come short of Jesus. We're nowhere near as good as Him. And you never will be unless you take on His righteousness through salvation. The Bible said over there, friend, in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. That's Adam. Because Adam, sin entered the world. For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But then one man came and died for our sins. His name's Jesus. Take away the sins of the world. The Bible said over there, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, it's death. Serious thing. We go to hell because we're sinners. You're born a sinner. Somebody has to pay for that sin. And His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for whosoever, that's anybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, friend. You say, how do I get saved, preacher? Here's how you get saved. You realize you're a sinner. You realize Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you ask Him through prayer to forgive you of those sins. Come into your heart and save you. And the Bible said that He'll write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you become a child of God forever. You leave out of here today holding your head up high, knowing that if you died, you'd go to heaven. I ask you a question. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Can you go to the place right now in your heart where you got saved? You say, I remember when I got baptized. No, I ain't talking about baptism. All you did was get wet. If you didn't get saved first, that baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. An outward picture of what you've done on the inside. What the Lord's done to you on the inside. Are you saved? Sir, are you saved? Mama, Daddy, teenager, visitor, church member. Go to the spot in your heart right now where you trusted Christ as your Savior. If you're saved, ain't it wonderful? I would like to ask, I'm about finished, and the preacher's going to come in just a moment, but I want to ask this question. If you would, please bow your head and close your eyes. I want you right now to think about when you got saved. I'm not going to hold you much longer. I want you to go to that place right now in your heart. Please don't lie to me. Don't lie to God. Please don't be ashamed. No one's looking around. But I want to ask you the question. How many here today, you're not ashamed of it, and you're not going to lie, but you know that you're saved, and you remember when God dealt with you and He convicted you of your sin, and you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your only hope to get you to heaven? How many here would be glad to slip your hand up quietly and hold it up and say, "Preacher, I know that I'm saved." Would you put it up? Would you put it up? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Thank you. You can put it down. And I knew preaching this message that there'd be majority of the people trusted Christ. I understand that. But if just one person gets saved, it's worth it. And if you get a burden for those that are lost, it's worth it. Now I want to ask another question. Please, don't be afraid. My uncle, whenever I got saved, he said this. He said, "If there's anybody here today, that if you died, you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven. I mean, you're not 100% sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. Would you slip your hand up and say, 'Preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul. God bless you. I don't know that I'm saved.' Anybody else?" You'd slip your hand up. We had one so far. What about you, dear friend? Anybody else? If I didn't see your hand, slip your hand up. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Anybody in the balcony? "If I died today..." God bless you. I've seen that young hand. "If you died today, you're not 100% sure you'd go to heaven. Would you reconsider?" The first step to salvation is acknowledging your need for Christ. Anybody here? Anybody else? "Preacher, if I died, I don't know I'd go to heaven." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I sure love you. Lord, I believe I've done what you told me to do. Father, there's three people that we know of that raised their hand. If they died, they don't know for sure they'd go to heaven. And Father, it would be a great thrill to our heart and yours and all of heaven if they would come this morning and let somebody take a Bible and show them how to be saved, just like you did for me, just like you did for many others. Father, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God would draw them and the Spirit of God would overpower Satan. Father, today they trust Christ as their Savior. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Ghost and His help. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. If you raised your hand and you're not sure you're saved, is your soul worth enough for you to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved? Maybe you didn't raise your hand, you don't know. You could still come. Young lady, would you slip out? Young lady, would you come? If you don't know you're saved, would you just come down the stairs and let somebody take a Bible and show you? Would you come get saved? I beg of you. Don't die and go to hell. Please come. Somebody take a Bible and show you how to get saved. God bless you, preacher.
I don't want the moment to pass. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I can't think of a better message to start a new year first Sunday than that one. God took my voice away so we could hear that. I'm convinced. And I'm happy to have a lady come weeping to trust the Lord. But I wonder if there's a church member here that needs to get saved. To put all the doubt and the hassle behind you. Be done with it. You're among friends. Why would you be hesitant? Now's the time. Now's the time. The with our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you come to make sure? Maybe a good explanation for why you're having such a hard time in the Christian life. Never been born from above. Let's stand together while she plays. If you want to come pray for somebody you know this morning, the altar's open. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You obey God while she plays today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Spirit of the Lord's working in our hearts. I surrender. That's salvation. I surrender. Surrendering your way to His way. It's losing your life so that He can give you His life eternal. I love what he said in that message. Why would you want to take a chance on a hope so salvation? Absolutely foolish. Would you come? My Father in heaven, we have no idea when you set things up, for what reason you set them up. And no clue as to what you would do this morning in our midst. I'm so thankful that you moved among us. Lord, so thankful for the Bible message. And so grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ came to give us a no-so salvation. Thank you for the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'll please deal, continue to deal. I see a couple of people being talked to today, and I pray that you will continue to deal with people's hearts, Lord, and draw folks to Christ through this message that was preached this morning. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.